taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
Right now, get up to a $15 gift card after rebate when you purchase select SuperStart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Welcome into the Dynasty Dugout Show. Today is Monday, February the 3rd. We're here to talk about more baseball. Today, we are breaking down the top second base prospects in the game, and I am excited to dive in. We are just a couple of weeks away from spring training. Pitchers and catchers report the first set in 6 days, under 6 days now. The Cubs are the first team to report, and baseball is around the corner. I am excited. As always, this episode is sponsored by Connect Roasters. Connect Roasters is Ian Happ's coffee company. They do a tremendous job. They produce an extremely good coffee. I have a cold brew here that at this point I've drank most of, but the Gold Glove blend is excellent. I'd encourage you to check it out. Go to their website, get the Gold Glove blend, buy one, get one 50% off using the code DynastyDugout in the checkout, or you can use the link below and it'll automatically give you buy one, get one free. I drink the Gold Glove blend every day now. I love what Connect Roaster stands for. They give back to the community, and what's better than Ian Happ making your coffee? But let's dive into the show. The second base position is kind of interesting for prospects, so it's one where you have some players that kind of play all over the board, but we are still going to talk about those guys that had eligibility, because right off the top, like, I've got Matt Shaw and Christian Campbell. They kind of played all over the board. Shaw is probably going to be the everyday third baseman for the Cubs out of the gate. I'm going to save his conversation for the third base episode. Now, Christian Campbell, we'll talk about him more here, because I think there's a legit chance that Christian Campbell is the opening day second baseman for the Red Sox. The Sox have an opening there, and Campbell's pretty darn good. He's going to get a chance to win a spot in spring, and it wouldn't shock me at all if he were to break camp, and if not, he's going to be up pretty soon. So let's dive into Christian Campbell. Last year's biggest breakout, arguably, of any prospect in the game. Now, we got tipped off to that a little bit in spring training. Tried to get the word out about that. We were in Fort Myers. We were on the backfields, and the internals were telling us Christian Campbell made a swing change. He added significant bat speed, and the results are there. In March of last year, they were already calling Campbell a top five prospect in that organization, which was a pretty loaded organization and still is. So it was high praise at the time. I saw Campbell in 2023 after he was drafted. He debuted in Greenville and got some work there. It was a funky swing. It's still a funky swing, but Campbell makes it work. I mean, he slashed 330, 439, 558. It was just an absurd season. He had 20 home runs, had 32 doubles, 55 extra base hits. He stole bases. It was crazy. So Campbell comes to Greenville, where I live, out of the gate, and he mashes. Opening weekend, he hits a ball 113 miles an hour that travels 450 over the batter's eye. Instantly, I was like, okay, now I'm fully buying the juice of what they were saying in spring training. You know, when internals tell you something, you kind of take it with a grain of salt, but when internals are telling you something about a player compared to their own system, then you really buy in. So what Campbell did last year, I think, was legit. Out of the gate, I think he struggled to blend the increased bat speed and power with the contact. You look at his contact rates month over month, April 72.6, May 72.8. There was some end zone whiff, there was some chase, but then it started to click because June contact rate was 80.9%, July 82.6, August 82.6, and September 84.5. Campbell posted a 9th percentile EV of 100 and 6 miles an hour. As I mentioned, he had several exit velocities up to 113 and above, which is crazy. This man is built like an NFL wide receiver, 6'3", athletic. He's a clubhouse leader. He checks all the boxes that you want to see. I think Campbell's going to be in for a big year at the major league level. And at this point, it's hard to question the swing. It's worked. He makes contact. He hits all pitch types well. And he has plenty of juice to go with it. So Christian Campbell, a pure second baseman, is at the top. And this next guy is not far behind him, Travis Bazzana. Bazzana was drafted first overall last summer in the 2024 draft. A unique prospect from Australia. Came out of Oregon State. Had a very, very good career. Steadily improved each year. We saw power take a step forward. We saw contact skills and plate approach improve each year. And the way Bazzana talks and thinks about the game is special. Just go read and listen to Jeff Pont's interview with him that he did last August, if I'm not mistaken, on Baseball America. Bazzana's a smart man. His baseball HQ is through the roof. He is somebody that I think will continually improve. I mean, you look at what he did last year. In college, a 407, 568, 911 slash with 28 home runs and 16 stolen basemen. I mean, it's just crazy. The exit velocities were there, 96-mile-an-hour average and a 109 90th percentile. Those were elite exit velocities with metal. Sure, it did tick down with wood, but still, I think there's above-average power. Contact skills are plus. The plate approach might be 70. I mean, he doesn't chase out of the zone. He picks up pitches well. You could knock him for passivity and walking too much, but honestly, he just knows the strike zone so well. You know, Bazzana is exclusively a second baseman now. The pro debut, I know, left a little to be desired, but Bazzana checks every box that you want to see of a future number one overall prospect. And I wouldn't be shocked to see him in that spot at some point in 2025. Honestly, this is a better version of what people hoped Jackson Holliday was going to be. I know that's kind of lofty praise, but remember where Jackson Holliday was coming into 2024. I mean, the reality is that Bazzana is honestly a bit better. I know that he's also older, but at the same time, like, we're talking better approach, better contact skills, better power. I just think that Bazzana is it. He's what you want. This next guy who I think is underrated. That's Kevin McGonigal, the Detroit Tigers. Now, McGonigal unfortunately saw his season end a bit early due to a broken hamate, getting hit on the wrist. He started the year in single A, Lakeland. He bumped to high A. It's a player we saw with improving exit velocities all year. He's small. I think he's smaller than his listed 5'10". But considering he posted a 112 exit velocity last year as a 19-year-old, that stands out. His 9th percentile exit velocity compared to others his age was couple ticks higher. He was near 103, which isn't that far off from MLB average. MLB average is like 103.5, 103.7. McGonigal was just shy of 103. So there is juice in the bat. And honestly, with McGonigal, we might be looking at some of the best contact skills in the minors. McGonigal hit for consistent contact. He had an overall contact rate of 88% and an end zone mark of 93% while chasing just 18% of pitches out of the zone. Those are pretty elite marks. And when you put up a 112 EV and you have a 9th percentile just shy of 103, those skills will play. Now, McGonigal's a solid runner. He may tick down with time just given the body, but you look at this profile, and this is the kind of player I want on my team because McGonigal does a lot of things well, and he has such a high floor with the hit tool. McGonigal also could sneak into that top 10 overall really, really soon. But he checks in as my 4th best second base prospect, 3rd if you don't count Matt Shaw. Next guy in a 2024 draftee as well who probably spends a lot of time in the majors, and that's Christian Moore of the Los Angeles Angels. We know the Angels are pretty notorious for pushing their first-rounders aggressively, really all their draftees aggressively, and getting into the majors as quick as possible. I think that's going to be the case with Christian Moore, who reached AA last year. He was on a rocket ship. I mean, he was blasting home runs left and right. He put up decent numbers, and honestly, the numbers at Tennessee were pretty good, too. We're talking about some of the best contact improvement in college baseball from 2023 to 2024. You hope that sticks, because we did see some concerning contact numbers in the minors last year when he reached AA, but to go from 65% overall in 2023 up to 77% overall in 2024 in college is notable. The end zone contact rate jumped from 75% in 2023 up to 83% in 2024. Chase rates are solid. They were around average, a little better than average for college standards, 23%. And the exit velocities are off the charts. 96 mile an hour average EV and 112 mile an hour ninth percentile. Those are like 100th percentile for all college hitters. So pretty stupid power. I got to look at this profile and think, for fantasy purposes, Moore's going to be a unique second baseman because he provides so much power. So watch out for Christian Moore this year. I wouldn't be shocked if he moves pretty quickly and is up in the majors in May or June. Who knows? The Angels could put him up earlier if he has a good spring, but we'll see. Luke Kuechel's kind of on the opposite of this spectrum. He's a second baseman, played some outfield. He unfortunately tore his UCL and played on it for a little bit, but he ultimately had Tommy John surgery and ended his year in the beginning of August. So Kuechel is a contact-oriented profile. He doesn't hit the ball overly hard, but Kuechel does hit the ball at ideal launch angles. So you look at what Luke Kuechel does well, and it's contact. It's not quite the numbers we saw with Kevin McGonigal. It was an 82% overall and an 87% end zone. So it's really solid contact. It's plus contact, while McGonigal might be 70-grade contact. And Kuechel did chase it less than 20%. I mean, those are pretty good marks. The exit velocity is pretty comparable to McGonigal. The high-end numbers are a little bit lower, so a little bit lower max EV there. But Kuechel hits the ball at ideal angles. He creates barrels. He had a pull rate at 52% last year, and he gets the ball in the air at a 66% mark. You know, I don't expect Kuechel to be a big power bat, but he could be a 15-home run bat that steals you some bags and puts up respectable exit velocities and OBPs. That's absolutely going to play. He'll be 22 on opening day. This looks like a profile that's going to be in the majors with the Twins at some point this year, unless they just want to slow play him a bit given the UCL injury and the Tommy John surgery. But we see hitters typically come back much quicker and jump back to their typical performance level than pitchers with that same surgery. So Kuechel is certainly somebody to watch out for. As is Michael Arroyo. Michael Arroyo of the Seattle Mariners. He had a big breakout year. Again, on the smaller side at 5'8". This is a former $1.4 million signing bonus on the international side in 2022. And I think people had questions about the size and how it would play. Would he get to power? He certainly did. In 2024, he slashed .285, .400, .509. And he had 23 homers and had 56 extra base hits. Arroyo has good contact skills. He's pretty aggressive at times. But I think he chooses his spots well. That's the thing with Arroyo. We see a higher swing rate, but he picks his spots when the swing pretty well. He made contact at average rates, maybe slightly better. And despite being smaller, he had a 103 mile an hour ninth percentile EV and an air percentage of 66%. So very similar to Kuechel there in some regards. Kuechel just has a little bit better contact. But Arroyo is 20, or will be 20 on opening day in 2025. And I think the skills are a lot, there's a lot to like there with Arroyo. Now, my breakout pick at this position, who also plays shortstop, is Welbin Francisca with the Cleveland Guardians. He'll still be 18 on opening day. Now, this is somebody who popped off in the DSL in 2023. Again, people questioned it was a DSL. The under-the-hood numbers were questionable in some regards, and people didn't know how much power Welbin would get to. He comes stateside, and he matches at the complex in single A. He slashed .327, .411, .474. While he had just 7 home runs and 18 doubles, 2 triples, it was 74 games. He stole 19 bags, caught 3 times. But what really stands out to me is the under-the-hood numbers. Francisca had a 102 mile-an-hour ninth percentile exit velocity. For someone that was 17, 18 years old, that's high-end. Like, that's really, really good mark compared to his age. He topped out north of 110 miles an hour, and he made contact at really respectable rates. 81% overall and 89% end zone contact for Welbin Francisca. Those marks are really, really good. So you combine those skills. It's a hit tool. There's some sneaky power. And Welbin's got speed. I think he's going to really pop off this year. He'll start the year in single A. Then he probably goes to double A at some point. Sorry, he goes to high A at some point. He won't be in double A this year. But I'd bet on him going to high A at some point this year. This is a profile that I really think could work. As is this one, Demetrio Crisantes, another major breakout, second baseman with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He improved his stock as much as any hitter in minor league ball in 2024, probably outside of Christian Gamble. Now, he started at the complex. He went to single A, didn't miss a beat. Slash 341, 429, 492. Had 7 home runs, 36 extra base hits, and just 439 plate appearances. He stole 30 bags and was caught 3 times. Now, Crisantes is on the smaller side, like several of these second basemen that we've mentioned, but it did not limit his power output. Crisantes put up a 112 EV, much like McGonagall, and he had a 102.5 mile an hour ninth percentile exit velocity. A lot of similarities there with McGonagall when we look at those numbers. Now, the contact skills are a step back from McGonagall. I mean, ultimately an 82% overall and an 89% end zone, but still, plus power or plus contact skills and a solid chase rate of 23%. That's definitely above average as well. So Dimitrio Crisantes is impressive. And even more impressively, he ended the 2024 season on a 57-game on-base streak, which will carry over to 2025. Crisantes is chasing the MILB record of 71 games, which ultimately was by a pretty legendary bat named Mookie Betts. So Crisantes has a chance to wind up going in the record books. He's going to have some work to do early in the year, but this is a pretty impressive profile. I think we could see him ascend to be a top 25 prospect, and I would not be shocked. Now, to round out the top 10, this is an interesting player in Cole Young, Seattle Mariners. He's a pretty divisive player. Got a $3.3 million bonus in the 2022 first round. He's done some good things. He played in AA all year in 2024 in a really pitcher-friendly environment, which I think hurt his numbers. The splits are pretty drastic. Ultimately, Young slashed 271, 369, 390. He had 9 home runs and 23 stolen bases. Now, this is a very contact-oriented profile with Cole Young. 83% contact rate, 15% chase. Those are really, really good numbers. He walked nearly as often as he struck out. Things you like to see. The interesting thing is the power numbers are not great with Cole Young, and that's ultimately the major question with Young is how would the power play? And early in the year, we actually saw him put up some respectable EVs. And as the year went on, they ticked back further and further. And when I look at Young, he had a 101 mile an hour ninth percentile EV. That's not great. Like, that's certainly below average. Again, he was young. He was 20, 21 years old. So it's not as bad when you put it in that perspective, but Cole Young does need to take a step forward with the power this year. Honestly, like, I don't expect him to be a big stolen base threat long term. How much does he run? We'll see. He did finish the year on a strong note. From August 1st forward, he slashed 312, 412, 404. I'd like to see the power take a step forward. That could happen in Everett in 2025. If he goes AAA, he may start back in AA, but I wouldn't be shocked if he's in AAA to start the year. He'll be 21 to start the year. I don't know. I'm curious to see how Young develops this year because I'd really like to see a little bit more power in the profile to be comfortable profiling him as a everyday regular. But again, the skill set's there. Yeah, I'm probably lower on Cole Young than most are. But there's still a lot to like in the profile. Let's take a quick break here and we'll get right back to the action with the rest of our top second base prospects.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Tanger Outlets, find hundreds of brands at unbeatable value. Save big on outerwear, must-have handbags, active essentials, classic favorites, footwear, and more up to 70% off. Shop Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. All the best brands, all on sale, every day. Only at Tanger Outlets.
All right, we are back from the break. Let's dive into some more second base prospects. We hit the top 10. Let's go over a couple of more that I want to highlight. You know, Sal Stewart's the first one out of the gate. Stewart's an interesting prospect. He plays some second, plays some third. He may ultimately wind up at second long-term with the Cincinnati Reds. This is an interesting profile. It's certainly a hit-first kind of profile. Questions around the power. How much power does Sal Stewart hit for? But ultimately, you know, this is still a fun profile where I think that he's going to get on base at a very high clip. It's really good contact rates. It was 83% overall last year. It was one of the top marks in high A, actually. And he was just one of seven minor league hitters that are 22 years or younger last year at all levels, put up a contact rate north of 80% and an OPS north of 850. So something to watch out for. He's a 6'3" frame. He could get some more power over time. I mean, he's hit a home run over 450 already at age 20. So you certainly look at the profile and say more juice could come with Sal Stewart. Another guy, Ronnie Mauricio, who I've wanted to be high on, but the reports on him just aren't good. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL back in the Dominican Winter League in 2023. It caused him to miss all of 2024, and then he had another surgery on his knee in August of 2024. What I've been told now is he still hasn't done any baseball activity to this point, and we're in February of 2025. That's a little bit concerning, and there's been some terms thrown out with his knee that it's kind of scary, honestly. Like, is he ever going to be back to 100%? That's my fear with Ronnie Mauricio. Mauricio's profile is fun. It's a big power bat. He's going to chase a lot. He's aggressive. He's not going to run high OBPs, but there's a lot of power in the profile and surprisingly respectable in zone contact skills, but we haven't seen him play in quite a while at this point. And on the flip side, he's still not healthy. That's a little bit of concern with me. Somebody we definitely need to talk about is Tamar Johnson, whose profile is drastically different than it was during the draft. During the draft time, Johnson was billed as a 70-grade hit tool, labeled one of the best prep hitters that we've seen in a long time. Hit tool's been nothing close to that. Honestly, Johnson has sold out for power in some ways. I've seen a lot of this profile. I've seen Tamar play in high A ton. Dating back to 2023, I've seen him out of the draft. Also seen him a ton this year and in the Fall League again. It's a very interesting profile. Johnson is... he's aggressive on pitches in the zone. He knows the zone well. He doesn't chase. He's hyper-aggressive trying to hit the ball a mile. And the exit velocities are honestly quite good. I mean, you look at what he did last year. He had a 9th percentile exit velocity north of 105 miles an hour. That's really good for somebody that's 5'7". Like, that's power that'll absolutely play at second base. He chased around 24%. Another good mark. Like, that's really respectable play discipline. But Johnson, on the flip side, really struggled with contact. It was sub 70% contact rate. He struggled mightily against breakers, near 40% whiff rate against breaking balls last year. For that reason, Johnson is not in my top 100 overall. I know that's controversial. I know people still love Tamar, and I want to like Tamar. I want to see the hit tool get back to those levels. I want to see him be able to blend the power and the contact. That's my hope when I'm in spring training in Florida that I see from Tamar, is that we see a nice blended approach. Not selling out for power, but also able to make contact. So with Tamar, certainly somebody to watch out for. I think that if he can blend those skills, then there's an intriguing player here. These next two players I want to highlight real quick are, they're going to play in the majors. And actually, I'm going to highlight three players in a row. They're going to play in the majors this year. They're not the flashiest profiles, but they're going to contribute. That's Nick York with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Nick York was traded from Boston to Pittsburgh for Quinn Priester at the trade deadline last year. York was finally healthy in 2024, and he put up some really good numbers. He added significant exit velocities to the profile, 303, 385, 449 slash. He hit 12 home runs, had 33 doubles. He had a 105 ninth percentile. That's a substantial jump, all while keeping the contact. A 79% contact rate and 86% end zone. It's a good plate approach too, doesn't chase. He showed good contact numbers against all pitch types. I think York might play the majority of the year at second base for Pittsburgh. He's better than Nick Gonzalez at the end of the day, so I'm kind of banking on York here. Juan Brito, the Cleveland Guardians, he's slated to be the opening day second baseman for Cleveland after they traded Andrés Giménez. Brito's been one of those guys that's like hovered around my top 100 for years. He's not flashy, but he gets the job done. You know, last year, you look at the numbers, it was 256, 365, 443. It's not the best. He ended the year with a OPS north of 800, though, for the second straight year. The powers continue to develop for Brito, who will be 23 on opening day. 21 homers, 40 doubles. So things you like to see. And he started out extremely slow. That's worth noting as well. The first 33 games, he slashed 174, 342, 287. After that, the flip script. He actually got more aggressive. He swung more, and the results came. 278, 371, 484 with 18 homers, 36 doubles, 12 stolen bases over his final 88 games. So the power numbers, I think they're close to MLB average. The contact rates, they're slightly better than average. So things you like to see. It's a healthy dose of fly balls. It's a solid pull rate. Juan Brito is a name to know for sure. As is Thomas Sejacy. Sejacy's kind of played all over. Given this roster in St. Louis, I think there's a legit chance that he plays the majority of the year as the Cardinals' second baseman. Sejacy got off to a slow start as well. Much like Brito in 2024, he picked things up. He put together a really good season. Again, it's not a flashy profile, but Sejacy puts up close to average EVs, contact skills, right around average. He's hyper-aggressive, chased at a 37% clip, but he does pick his spots well. You know, while he's chasing, he's also mashing balls in the zone, which does help the profile. I think he gets a regular role this year. Wouldn't shock me a bit. Now, another guy that has major league time is Orelvis Martinez. He got to the majors a couple games later, busted for PEDs. He's 80 game suspension. He came back at the end of the year. How much does this affect him? I don't know, but Orelvis has always been a major power bat. I don't think it affects the power all that much for Orelvis Martinez. So that's worth noting as well. Could he be the second baseman in Toronto? Maybe, but the glove's still the question. Like, where does he fit in and play? Does he have to DH? Can he play third? Does he play second? A lot of question marks for Orelvis Martinez. And also, what does he look like post-suspension? We saw him come back. We at least saw a little bit. But last year, we know the power was good. It's always been good. 107.5 ninth percentile, 115 max EV, and the contact rates are good enough. We've seen a pretty steady improvement for Orelvis Martinez with contact rates. Chase rate was around 25%, which is pretty good. And the end zone contact rate was also really good as well, 85%. So things you like to see there. I think there's effortless 30 home run power in this profile for sure. Go to the younger side. Hit on a few guys before we get out of here, because there are a couple names to know here. Rodrick Arias of the New York Yankees. His career has been a roller coaster. People hate him now, like to the point where I went to the Florida State League at the end of July last year and spent a week in Florida. I saw a lot of Arias, and I got some interesting comments about him. They're like, enjoy watching the most overhyped prospect in baseball, all sorts of things. Honestly, justifiable. Why say roller coaster? $4 million signing bonus with the Yankees, so naturally you're going to get hyped. He struggled mightily in the DSL as a 17-year-old. He went to complex ball in 2023. Numbers looked pretty good despite missing some time with injury, and he missed time with injury for both the DSL and the complex, so worth noting. Goes to single A, 2024. 19-year-old Rodrick Arias, and the overall surface numbers aren't good. You look at the overall slash, 233, 335, 394, and you might be inclined to be like, why am I talking about Rodrick Arias? He did hit 13 home runs. He had 42 extra base hits. I saw Arias hitting stride. Sometimes it takes guys longer to figure things out. Another thing to note, which is kind of interesting on the international guys, something that is not talked about enough, Single A and the Florida State League are often the first time a lot of these guys have played under the lights. It's a little bit of an adjustment period. So you think about it. I mean, international players in the Dominican, Venezuela, Cuba, etc., they're not playing under the lights. The DSL, all-day games. Florida Complex League, 99% day games. And then you go to Single A, and suddenly it's the first time you've played under the lights. Totally different way to view the ball, especially when you're hitting, trying to pick up the ball under the lights. Different view. Something to note. Aside the point, Roderick Arias over his final 47 games, 276, 390, 471. Strikeout rate dropped to 24%. That's a big enough sample. 47 games is a good enough sample to talk and say, all right, Roderick Arias made a notable change. You know, the contact rates look pretty bad. He ended the year with a 65% contact rate, 77% end zone. But from July 10th forward, 74% overall, 84% end zone. Suddenly, we're looking at above average contact rates for his age and level. 24% chase rate as well. Arias is always going to be a high OBP guy. He's got a good eye and good discipline. You know, I think there's more power in the profile than we've seen, but 19 years old, 89 mile an hour average EV and a 103 mile an hour 90th percentile EV, those are pretty close to major league average. Power's coming. Great buy low in Dynasty. You want a sleeper? I got one for you. It's Max Acosta, formerly known as Maximo Acosta. He was traded this offseason in the Jake Berger deal to the Miami Marlins, which, who knows, may open up some pretty good playing time for him sooner than later, because the Rangers' middle infield crowded for a long time with Marcus Semien and Corey Seager. Now, it's an interesting path because Acosta was very hyped. He signed in 2019, $1.65 million bonus. He didn't make his professional debut until June of 2021 due to the pandemic. Then he had thoracic outlet syndrome surgery, and he struggled in 2022. I saw him again in 2023 in high A. I was like, this guy all of a sudden looks pretty good. 2024, put together a really good year. 288, 355, 425 slash, 8 home runs, 26 stolen bases. Acosta is a strong middle infielder, plays some really solid short, really solid second. He may be a shortstop long-term, honestly, as we're talking about him in the second base episode here. But really solid numbers. Contact rate was north of 80% this year. He chased at a 24% clip. The power numbers were good. He added significant exit velocity this year. And he stole 25 bases for two straight seasons. Acosta's a good athlete. He's got some good mechanics in the box. He's good in the field. Got power and speed and good contact rates. I wouldn't be shocked to see this guy way higher on the list by midseason. So store away that name. Max Acosta, now with the Miami Marlins. Now another one. Hao-Yu Lee, Detroit Tigers. Lee's interesting, and he really burst on the scene this year. Massive breakout list before he ultimately went on the injured list with a lumbar spine inflammation. That doesn't sound very good. He was traded to the Tigers at the 2023 deadline from the Phillies. He thrived, man. 386 plate appearances before being injured. He slashed 298, 363, 488, 12 home runs, 36 extra base hits, and 16 stolen bases. I've seen Hao-Yu Lee ranked as like the number one second base prospect in baseball, which is a little bit crazy. I'm not going there. I like Lee. I think he's a bit underrated. He's a bit low on my list, but ultimately the exit velocities kind of paint a different picture. I think we're looking at a 12 to 15 home run bat with Lee. Contact skills are fine. Like, they're not great. I mean, it's average contact, maybe a little bit above average contact, and it's average plate discipline, a little bit slightly better than average plate discipline. I'm hesitant to go all in on him like some have. I also worry about the back. Those can derail players really quick. So I look at Lee. I think he's an interesting prospect, but not a super flashy one. We'll see how it all pans out. A couple more names before we get out of here. Just some quick hits. Guys that'll be in the majors this year: Chase Meidroth, OBP machine, contact machine, minimal power. He's going to be versatile, I think, in Chicago, but they signed Josh Rojas, which, I mean, Meidroth is major league ready. He doesn't need to prove anything. I don't like that signing, so we'll see how it pans out. Meidroth is just one of those guys that probably plays better in a points league. Caleb Durbin's got all the buzz in the world. He's great contact. There's a hole in the top of the zone against better fastballs, which worries me a bit. But Durbin, he's got, the power's bad, just to put it nicely. He's perfected pulling fly balls, which can work, but we're talking like worst exit velocities in MLB by what he did last year, and he's 25 years old. So he's maxed out. He's 5'6" on a good day, and he's a muscle hamster. He's not going to add any weight. Probably can't add much more strength to that frame. So it's concerning. I think he's a major league utility man. Will Wagner, who knows where he plays? I mean, second baseman, DH, they brought in Andrés Jiménez. He's not going to play second base with Jiménez there, obviously, and Bobichet at short. But Wagner's kind of sneaky. He hits the ball hard. He's got really good OBP skills. He just can't lift the ball, so he's not going to get to power. Final name before we get out of here. Jodhir Arenado, Milwaukee Brewers. They always have some sneaky prospects. And Arenado is that guy. I saw him play this year. He's very interesting. He's hyped to no end on Twitter, which is also kind of interesting. He had a great year. No denying that. 301, 349, 442 slash. He had 10 home runs and 32 stolen bases. This is another interesting frame. Shorter, stockier, maxed out, really funky mechanics. I mean, it's noisy. He starts very high, like it's back elbows like above his head. It's a big leg kick, hard hand pump, and he gets the bat on point. They're aggressive hacks, but it paid off. He didn't sacrifice contact. He had 81% contact rate. I mean, that's pretty good. He chases a lot, slower walk rates, but Arenado, if he quiets it down, could be kind of interesting. You know, you'll see him buzz to no end on Twitter. I'm not there. There's certainly much better infield prospects in Milwaukee, but it's a name to store away. It's somebody that you should just keep an eye on because he's versatile. You know, he signed as a glove-first prospect. He's solid in the field. I'm just curious if his mechanics can work against better pitching. He made it to high A last year. It did work, but as he faces better fastballs as he moves up, like he's going to be challenged, and he's going to face better breakers, and he already has a chase issue. Yeah, I'm going to need to see this, you know, play out a little bit more before I go all in, just given the below-the-surface numbers and the mechanics. But it's going to wrap us up. Thank you for tuning in. This was the Second Base Prospects edition of the Dynasty Dugout Show. We will see you tomorrow.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.